I'm Kiyomi Kiyoshi.
I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and the inspiration to help you start, manage, and grow your business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 286. It's our quarterly all Q&A episode. Hi, Kiyomi.
Hello, my first quarterly Q&A episode.
Well, you've been co-hosting for a couple episodes. What do you think?
I love it.
Oh, you do good.
I do, yes. Part of the reason is, I don't want to say ego boost, but the amount of supportive sellers who chime in and who are just very appreciative of what you and I do. And so I think that goes a long way, and I really appreciate that. Yeah, getting it on the community is one thing, but that's behind a screen. But it's good to know that they're also appreciating this podcast as well.
I'm glad, because I don't want to go searching again for another co-host. You know, we have such a turnover over the years, and I'm glad that you were willing and able to take this on. I should explain to the audience that, you know, we don't have the ability to find a co-host outside of our own team or out of eBay. And most of the people who work for eBay, they have jobs. They're full-time. And even though the requirements for being a host on the podcast is only about maybe an hour to 90 minutes a week, it's still a big commitment. And I think it frightens a lot of people, the idea, well, I'm going to have my voice recorded. So finding someone who's got the capability and the ability and the willingness to be a part of this is always makes me very happy. Thanks.
Of course. I will spare you another search.
Well, anyway, this week, as you know, there are no guests, and I believe there's no news. I checked. So we can get right into the questions. But, Kiyomi, I wanted to issue a clarification. I know that I interviewed a guest last week. I don't know if you were able to listen to the segment, but it was this eBay seller. His name is Andrew. And we were talking about a POD, or print-on-demand service. The company that he works with is called Printify. So before we get to the questions for this episode, I really feel I need to make a little bit of a clarification, because there was quite a bit of discussion on our podcast Facebook group. I don't know if you saw that.
I did.
So we're talking about our Facebook group. It's called the eBay for Business podcast Facebook group. And there was a lot of discussion around last week's topic, which, as I said, was print on demand and using it as a, an option for listing inventory with, you know, your own designs or brand, and you put it on eBay. And the discussion, I have to admit, was mostly, it was pretty negative regarding what sellers have heard about POD services like Printify. These are things they've heard in the past. And they were talking about things like inconsistent item quality and late delivery times and customer dissatisfaction with feedback, and blah, blah, blah. What I should have included in that segment, so my bad, I didn't, and this is what I should have said, and that is, any seller considering employing a third-party service for any aspect of their business, well, that seller should always research that service thoroughly prior to adopting it. This would include shipping, of course, packing services, freighting, branding, fulfillment, or other adjunct services like a print-on-demand service. Any seller who's maybe considering exploring a POD service should order examples of that service's products, like their t-shirts, mugs, and whatever, before committing to using that service, so that way they can see for themselves and ensure that the product quality meets theirs and their buyer's standards. Many sellers use third-party services, including a POD service, with great success. So I know POD is probably not for every seller, but as we presented it, it is one of many options available for sellers to consider and test as a way of, well, sourcing inventory.
Exactly. Like Griff was saying, please explore your options, do the research necessary before making that decision. Everyone is different. And like we were saying, it works great for some people. For others, it may not be your cup of tea. Please explore your options. Don't just go based off of what Griff and I say. We try to be as knowledgeable as possible, but we are all very nuanced people. All of our businesses are nuanced. So please do your research beforehand before making a decision.
Kiyomi, I couldn't have said it better myself. You know, I realize, though, as we're saying this, that you and I, at least on the podcast team, we utilize a POD service. So we have our friend in Temecula who helps provide us with the swag that we brand and have sent out to sellers. And we did that research before we settled on this particular person and his business. So those podcast mugs, we saw them beforehand and were able to inspect them and say, yeah, these are pretty cool. And now whenever we ship a podcast mug out, I don't ship it. Our friend in Temecula, he ships them out. He has a supply that we committed to, and he gets the address that I provide to him, and he ships it out. So
I think so. I would consider it that. Yeah, I was confused where you were going with this, but yeah, we do use that.
I mean, at the very least, you could call it drop shipping. If you're drop shipping properly on eBay, it's perfectly allowed. I saw some people posting and saying, well, it's as bad as drop shipping. And I said, well, wait a minute, I don't know what that means, but drop shipping can be a viable way for anyone to do business, as long as your drop shipping source is not another public marketplace where you're just-in-time purchasing items from, say, Amazon or another site, and then adding the address to your account there and then shipping them as, quote-unquote, a gift. That's not allowed?
Absolutely. Yes. And hopefully everyone understands that. And if not, I'm sure we will have another hot topic in our Facebook group that we may have to cover next week.
So yeah, hot topics. Don't mind them. I mean, they do get a lot of engagement. So as long as they follow the rules of the group, we're happy.
Oh yeah.
So let's take a short musical break and we'll segue into our Q&A segment.
You've got questions.
As we know you do, and we've got answers. And in fact, we have a whole episode of questions. We have 7 big fat questions waiting for our answers. K.O. me.
I know. I'm sure everyone is excited to listen.
Yeah, we get a lot of feedback. They love these Q&A segments, all Q&A. And in fact, we're considering maybe a little change up in the podcast format in the coming months where we may have, well, I don't want to give anything away. I'm shutting the kimono and belting my obi.
Well, now I'm curious. Griff, we're going to have a chat after this.
That's right. I haven't told you.
Yeah, you have to let me in on it, at least.
I will. I'll send you a little memo. Anyway, enough of that.
Good.
So here's our first
being
question.
A co-host.
Right. You get to peek into what's coming.
Yeah.
This one's from a listener named Bob, and he asked, I was listening to the podcast today about TerraPeak, and the expert, that was Shelley Ball, who was on a couple episodes ago. She said that the search produces the actual prices of items sold. I'm using the desktop version, and she said was primarily talking about the mobile features, but I assume they're the same regarding the basic information provided. So he said, I have a question. This is the item, and we'll, you know, get into the details, but I'll tell you that it's a cool item. It's a Zenith Military Transoceanic Receiver, like a shortwave radio. Shortwave radio. Boy, say that 3 times.
Say that 5 times, yeah.
And Bob says it shows in the sold listings as completed, sold for $1,850. However, in TerraPeak and eBay Research, it shows the same exact listing that it sold for $750. Now, can you explain, based on what I've heard on the podcast, the price difference? If it did sell for $750, shouldn't the completed listing have a strikeout on the bin price? Thanks, Bob. And his user ID is Racer Trek.
All right. Well, Bob, we're not absolutely certain why the sold view and the eBay Research, formerly known as TerraPeak, view amounts don't match, but we did reach out to the lovely Shelley Ball, who was on a couple episodes ago, and she says that the accurate data reflecting accepted best offers can always be found in eBay Research. Another good reason to use eBay Research.
It's not that you shouldn't check out the sold items, but you're going to get more accurate data, apparently, in eBay Research. And you know, now that we're talking about this,
yes,
I actually think, and I could be wrong, but I seem to recall that there was some logic behind us not showing accepted offer amounts in the sold view. And I think it was based on sellers requesting that we don't disclose it, which an item might have sold, so as not to telegraph to potential buyers what kind of deep discount they may get on an item that is currently under consideration that has best offer, and not setting unrealistic expectations. I could be wrong, and there may be a seller or two who may remember this better. Here's the most confusing part of this. It really doesn't make any sense to me.
Let's hear it.
Apparently, there are some instances on the sold view, not an eBay Research, where you'll find a sold item that has a strike through. What Bob says actually does happen. But it doesn't seem to be consistent or follow rhyme or reason. My suggestion is those two teams have to get together and have a little talk about this.
And facilitate that conversation.
I don't know, Bob, did that answer your question? But keep an eye out, because we actually alerted Shelley and some other people. So hopefully, maybe there'll be some consistency in the future. We like consistency, right? So
absolutely. And if you do notice that change, I don't know, maybe take credit for it in your seller groups. Just tell people this change was because of you.
Right.
Reference this episode.
I wrote into the podcast and they got it done.
Because of me.
Anyway, that's that one. And reiterate here, you want to know the exact price something sold for, including situations where there was a best offer accepted. Rely on eBay research, formerly known as Terapy.
Yes.
Our next question comes from eBay seller Derek. He writes this. I'm wondering if eBay is working to combat against keyword spamming. I have many saved searches for certain sports cards. There are sellers that list many popular athletes on their listings to manipulate searches and to get more looks on their listings. This creates unwanted spam on my saved searches. There are usually just a single athlete on trading cards and maybe three at the most for all cards. I have reported some of the listings, just checking to see if there will be a fix in the future. Thank you, Derek. Do you hear about this on community at all?
I have. And every time as you were reading it, I don't know if you saw, but like I let out a little minor cringe, just a minor cringe, just because this topic, I'm sure we'll get into it more, but there really is no resolution on, you know, combating keyword spamming, unfortunately.
Because what would you imagine a fix would be? You know, if you had something like a bot or maybe some sort of algorithmic fix, it would be nearly impossible to fine-tune given the width and breadth of and depth of all of the different title combinations. And you try to do that with some sort of automated feature, and you're going to end up catching so much tuna in the net, it's just not going to work. It's going to cause more problems than it can solve.
Yeah. I was even trying to think of another solution. And I know AI has been a really popular topic, but even trying to brainstorm with that, it just seems maybe that's an option down the line. I mean, years from now. But like you were saying, Griff, it's very complicated when trying to think of a solution. I don't even know where we'd start.
There's nowhere near the ability to use human eyeballs to scan this. It's just not possible. Billions of items on the site. So yeah, in the meantime, Derek, the best way to combat this is to help us out. Continue to report listings where the titles contain, well, for in your example, all those unrelated athlete names. And it's easy to do so if you obviously know this because you've done it, but if you haven't done this, you just click the report this item link directly above the item description on the listing page. And because of the way these reports work, unfortunately, you have to report each item individually. The team responsible does not go through and then look through a seller's listings. And I'm going to tell you why. It's just plain and simple. There's no time. That's that question.
All right, moving on. Our next question is from seller Catherine, who sent this to podcast@ebay.com. Catherine says, my question is about returns. I offer 30-day returns on everything I sell, but I am confused about the amount of time a buyer has to return the item. Could you please explain the return timeframes that buyers have to get the return item back to the seller? Thank you, Catherine Allen.
Yeah, it's a good question.
And I feel like a lot of people are asking this.
Yeah.
So, Catherine, once the return is accepted, eBay will provide the buyer with the date by which they should ship the item back to you. After 15 business days, if we don't see any indicators that the item is on its way back to you, we may close the item and protect you from negative feedback. However, some, if not most, returns may remain open for up to 35 business days, after which, if the buyer has not made any indication of shipping the item back, eBay will close the return.
And I don't know why that discrepancy between 15 days or 35 days, I don't know what, you know, makes the system decide which one is going to be the period of time. I just always assume it's 35. So those, like I've had in the last, I went back and checked in the last year, I've had two returns, which were never sent back. The person either changed their mind or forgot about it. And it was pretty much on the 35th day, I got an email from eBay saying, return is closed, don't worry about it. And in fact, I remember now that I actually received emails saying, hey, we've reminded the buyer to return the item. So eBay does step in and say, hey, you're going to return this or not? And I guess if they're going to ignore that, then they're either happy with the item, they're forgotten all about it. Who knows? Or maybe they died. You know, you never know.
My mind was going, maybe they're just lazy, but I like how you jump to the extreme.
Yeah, it's the morbid side of me that just always makes that
a bit of a shock to the system. Yeah, I'm sure all the listeners were like, oh, okay, I guess that is a possibility.
And I think a lot of sellers are, you know, they're thinking, I want to get that item back so I can relist it. And my advice is to not even think about it. You have the money, They have the item. They haven't shipped it back. I don't worry. And if it comes back, I go, oh, here it is. Then I'll immediately relist it. Because once that happens, you get the, if they do send the item back, you can relist it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Catherine, I would just keep those two dates in mind, 15 to about 35 business days.
Yeah. Like we said, don't worry about it too much.
Yeah. Don't stress yourself out. Hopefully we answered your question.
Our next question was sent from eBay seller Kim, and she sent this to podcast@ebay.com, and I think it's a good one. Again, I want to thank all the sellers who answered the call that we put out for your questions, because what we got back were really juicy questions. Here's what Kim wrote. Hello there. I have a situation that I've run into a couple of times, and I've wondered what the best remedy is. In addition to shipping items, USPS, we also offer the local pickup option. Now, occasionally, a customer will purchase an item, select local pickup, but have no intention of picking it up. And I wonder, how do I add freight charges after the transaction's been fully paid for? I could never figure out how to do this. So I typically cancel the transaction, refund it, and have them repurchase and select a freight option or shipping option. Now, can I send them an invoice to PayPal after the transaction has been paid for? I'm not sure how to handle this, says Kim. Thank you so much. And it's Kim, and her store is the Porch Resale Shoppy, spelled, you know, the old way, S-H-O-P-P-E. Ye old gifty shoppy. I think you know the answer to this, but I'm happy to say it. It's just not possible. Once a listing is closed and it's been paid for, there's no way to then add shipping charges to that sold item. The only way to facilitate this, Kim, is exactly what you're been doing, which is to cancel the sale. Yes, I know you could go to PayPal and send them an invoice. I don't recommend that. It's just not no longer part of the eBay transaction of record. If you have to cancel a sale in this case, you can explain to the buyer how to purchase with the shipping option and then relist the item and have them repurchase it.
Exactly. And I know you mentioned in your question that you've run into this issue a couple of times. Hopefully this doesn't become a regular occurrence for you. If so, to mitigate this, you may want to include a line in your description that indicates shipping cannot be negotiated post-sale. And hopefully your future buyers will see this and you stop running into this issue.
Yeah. I hope it's a one-off.
All right. This next question is a two-parter. It's from the seller, Eric, who sent this to podcast@ebay.com. Hi, Kiyomi and Griff. I have a couple of questions for your show. One, regarding the promoted listing standard, I sell a lot of one-off items, so unsure if I should be using promoted listings at all. But I use a standard 4% or so across the board to cover the chance it helps close a sale for me. Say I have a vintage sterling silver teddy bear charm. If I promote it, will eBay move the listing up versus other listings that have, quote unquote, vintage sterling silver teddy bear charm in the title? The charm category is quite competitive, but I want to make sure I'm spending my money wisely, as you should. Two, is there a replacement for the listing quality report that has been discontinued? Third and final question, Thanks for delivering weekly content. It's very much appreciated. Bye for now, Eric. Ending on a high note.
Yeah, Eric, I'm not going to lie about it. We love compliments, so thank you. Well, this, I think, is a misunderstanding among a lot of promoted listings for the first time or haven't really looked into it. So the promoted listing standard feature does not boost the listing's rank in search or category. Now, what it does do is provide occasional placement as something called a sponsored item. And if you're a buyer on the site, you may have seen these. And it puts it in advantageous places, including the search results page and on some product pages. Your promoted listing may also appear in sponsored placements off eBay, including search engines, to help drive traffic to your listings when buyers are out there, like on Google, actively searching and shopping across the whole internet.
Yeah, that's really important to note. And also, keep in mind that the frequency of appearances as sponsored depends on the ad rate selected by the seller. The higher the ad rate, the higher the possibility of ad placement, leading to increased visibility. You can learn more about how the promoted listing feature works by searching our help and contact pages on promoted listings and by visiting the promoted listings page in Seller Center.
Yeah, those are two really good resources. And another thing I would add here is when you're using promoted listing track, you want to know how effective it is for your listings to make sure that you've got the right ad rate and what your sell-through rate is. And you can do that on the dashboard in Seller Center so that you can follow how effective your promoted listing strategy is at your given percents. Test it. We're going to hear us say this a lot. If you haven't already. Test. You're always testing and adjusting.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've been following this one seller who's kind of started her journey with promoted listings, and she's, I think, doing weekly or daily updates on how it's working for her. And so, like Griff was saying, experiment with it. See what works for you. Figure out your magical formula. But yeah, track it as closely as possible.
Hey, I'm curious, who is this seller and why isn't she on the podcast?
Well, I think we have had her on, not when I've been a co-host, but it's Liz O'Kane.
Oh, Liz, of course. Well, we're going to have her on to talk about this.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure she'd be very happy.
Well, she's listening, I know. So, hey, Liz, guess what? You're going to get an email.
Hello, Liz.
Now, as for your second question regarding the listing quality report, this is so embarrassing to me. So it's going to come back soon. It's really all we have officially at this point. They're working hard to fix it. If you had access to it before, it will be back again. So, yay, we're just a human company with human beings. And
yes.
Now, this next question is from eBay seller Greg, and his question is about bulk editing listings. And this is what Greg sent to podcast@ebay.com. Dear eBay for Business podcast team, I hope this message finds you well. I have a question regarding the management of listings, specifically those with the Buy It Now or Best Offer feature enabled. Is there a method or tool available to perform a bulk edit on these listings to remove the minimum offer feature? As I continually refine my selling strategy, I find myself wanting to streamline the process and ensure consistency across my listings. Being able to efficiently adjust this aspect of my listings in bulk would greatly enhance my efficiency overall selling experience on eBay. Any guidance or suggestions you could provide on this matter would be greatly appreciated. Thank you for your time and for the invaluable resources you've provided through the eBay for Business podcast. Warm regards, Greg Glover, and his store is Utah 12 Man.
What a nice message. Well, Greg, I hope this information and answer finds you well. Great news. You can bulk edit live listings to add, subtract, or change the best offer feature on those listings. Here are the steps. Go to the Seller Hub and then the listing and then the active tab. Select the listings you want to edit by checking the box to the left of the listing title. Click the edit button. This will open the bulk edit feature. Check the boxes for the listing selected. I know. Seems like this is a redundant step, but it actually isn't because you may want to edit different features for different listings. Then click the bulk edit button on top of the list and select offers. From there, you'll be able to follow the instructions.
And then you'll see that you can actually remove the offers or you can change them from there. So if you wanted to take out the minimum, and the steps may actually be that you remove the offers and then you put back offers in a bulk edit with the minimum. I didn't follow it all the way through because at the moment I don't have any with offer set that way. So, but you can use that bulk edit feature in the future, as Naomi says, not just to edit the best offer. You can scroll down that edit list and there's just about every aspect of your listings you can edit in bulk.
Yeah, a lot of different capabilities. All right, are you ready for our last question?
I think, let me gird my loins. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, well, this one's interesting. Deals with a popular eBay myth.
Oh, eBay myths. Oh, God.
Yes, okay. If you can recall, this one is regarding eBay stores and search. This question was sent to us at podcast@ebay.com by the seller Anne, who writes, "Hi, Griff. Hi, Kiyomi. First off, congratulations, Kiyomi, on becoming the new co-host.
Yay!
Griff, I think you might have cherry-picked these. These are all very nice, warm messages."
No. I didn't cherry-pick them. I promise.
You wanted us to end our Friday on a very high note. I appreciate it. Thank you, Anne. My question is related to having a storefront. I currently do not have one, and I'm trying to get a feel if it's a needed extra expense at the moment. I've read through the list of perks associated with each tier, but I'm curious to know if having one changes the way your items are shown on the algorithm. Do those with the storefront get more exposure than those who do not? Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure listening to the podcast. Anne Barnes. Anne and everyone listening, we are going to demystify this eBay myth. eBay store subscriptions have absolutely no connection to how a seller's items are ranked in best match. I just want to repeat that. None. Zero. Zilch connection.
Nada.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, this seems to be yet another one of those classic eBay urban myths that circulate around the interwebs and social nets. Now, some sellers claim that they see a boost in sales after they subscribe to an eBay store, and that's terrific. Any boost in sales would be entirely coincidental. In this case, correlation is not causation, believe me. If a store subscription did provide a boost in search, we'd be crowing about it as yet another reason to have a store. But the truth is simple. There is no boost in search. None. If you have an eBay store.
Yeah. Like you said, if there was, I think you'd all be annoyed with how much we were promoting stores then.
Exactly. That is our seventh question. We've come to the end of our quarterly Q&A, all Q&A episode. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, we did it. And we had a lot of great questions.
Boy, did we ever. Thank you to everyone who sent them in.
Yeah. And if you forgot to send your question, you still have a shot at our next episode. You can call your question in at 888-723-4630 or email us at podcast@ebay.com.
That's 888-723-4630. And we love that hotline. I'd love to see more people using it. Just call it any time of the day, any day of the week. Leave your question or comment and we'll put it on the air.
And if you're not a call on the phone person, like you said, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And now it's time for our weekly three-point podcast checklist number one.
Let's get into it. Check the announcement board at ebay.com/announcements for up-to-date seller news every day.
Number two, if you haven't done so yet, start filling out your Schedule C for your 2023 federal tax filing. Do it today. Don't wait until the deadline is just a couple days away. No procrastination. You're a professional seller. Get to it.
Save yourself the stress. And number three, need to review anything in this episode? It's easy. Check the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to find the links we referenced during the episode.
Yeah, and speaking of our next episode, we'll be talking spring workplace cleanup and organization with eBay seller Kendall Van Gilder, who happens to have experience on this topic.
Nice, and just in time for spring. It's finally starting to get warm again.
Yeah.
We'd like to again thank our guests this week, the many sellers who submitted a question for our quarterly Q&A episode. Thank you to Bob, Derek, Catherine, Kim, Eric, Greg, and Anne.
Yes, we're nothing without your questions. Or as Sarah Bernhardt said in the 80s, I am nothing without you. The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411. We'll see you next week, Kaomi.
Okay, see you then.